Chapter 1. It was a very peaceful scene, and a very rural one. Two riders parting company at a magnificent iron entrance gate that was supported by handsome stone piers and overhung by feathery tassels of lime. The lime avenue went on inside the gates and was probably one of the finest in the country. And where the trees appeared to grow closer together, there was little or no light beneath them. The girl glanced up at the sky and saw that the light was receding from it with a rush. In less than an hour, it would be quite dark, and she had a lot of packing to do that night. In fact, she had a great many things to do, and very little time, or so she understood, in which to do them.
"I must go,"
she said, a sigh in the words.
"I've masses of sorting out to do, and I simply don't know where to begin. It's unbelievable, the amount of stuff I've accumulated in the 2 years I've been living here."
"If there's anything I can do to help you when you move to the cottage, you must let me know."
The man had dismounted to open the gate for her, and he stood, fondling the nose of her horse, stroking the velvety muzzle with long, experienced fingers, and plainly delaying the moment when he would have to let its rider go.
"I'm going to be pretty busy towards the end of the week, but I can spare all day tomorrow if you'd like to begin your removal job then. After all, you need a stout shoulder to transport the various tea chests, and there's no one like me for shoving the odd piano around. And I take it you won't be leaving your piano behind, the one Sir James gave you."
"No, of course I won't. But Dixon is going to do all that for me, and if he needs any help, he'll borrow one of the gardeners. Sir Luke isn't expected until the end of the week, so he won't know anything about it. And if he did, I don't expect he'd object."
"No, perhaps not."
But there was a faintly dubious note in his voice as he gazed up at her.
"However, I wish you'd make use of me."
"I will, when I've moved in. I'll get you to hang pictures and things, and it'll be fun. I'm sure you've got a wonderfully straight eye for hanging pictures, Martin."
And she touched him gently on the cheek, with the end of her hunting crop. He caught at the crop and hung on to it.
"Why don't we have dinner tonight?"
he pleaded.
"I could dash home and change and then pick you up."
"No, Martin."
Her voice was very soft and sweet, but it had a coolness that was like the faint breath of coolness wafted to them from the lake that was hidden from their sight by the avenue of trees. Her eyes, too, had a deliberately withdrawn look, a cautious look, and they were quite the most fascinating pair of bright feminine eyes he had seen in his life. The light was changing so rapidly that their colour was altering, but he knew that in daylight they were a wonderfully deep blue. And in the gathering dusk, they were like dark blue stars, smiling and friendly and serene. He would have felt a little happier if they had not been quite so serene. He could sense, too, that she was anxious for him to release her horse's head, unflatteringly anxious.
"Tomorrow night, then?"
"I've told you I won't have a moment to spare until I'm installed in the cottage."
"But if it's just a question of packing, I could come back here and help you."
She shook her head very firmly. There was a lovely colour in her face after their wild ride across the country.
"No, Martin, it's awfully kind of you, but I've promised Mrs. Edgerly that I'll help her and the girls get the rooms ready for Sir Luke and his party. We don't know how many he's bringing with him, but he's almost certain to bring his mother, and there may be others."
"Hasn't he had the decency to let you know?"
She shook her head again.
"No, but I suppose he thinks there's no real reason why he should."
"I'm sure Mrs. Edgerly doesn't agree with him. Is she getting very worked up?"
"She is a bit anxious, yes, but that's because she hasn't met him yet. Or not since he was a child, anyway."